Now you can share the topics that drive the discussions of your favorite talk shows with TalkStream Live's topic-driven talk radio.
We gotta talk. Take a drive.
List and promote real-time talk radio topics, or post the topics that you want to hear. Hot topics are tweeted and retweeted, and include simple click-to-listen audio links. The future of talk radio is topic-driven talk radio.
Now that's what I call real drive.
Available now at TalkStreamLive.com.
He became a millionaire by the age of 30, but ended up in bankruptcy, losing it all by the age of 40. The amazing story of one man driven to the brink of death after becoming the victim of an embezzlement scheme. After planning his own suicide, he turned to God and discovered a secret so powerful that it changed his life forever. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle is more than just one man's story of beating the odds and rebuilding his life after a total financial collapse. It's a book that reveals a life-changing prayer method that anyone can use to find hope during life's darkest financial trials. You will learn how to enlist God's help in solving your financial problems. The biggest prayer mistake most people make when approaching God with a financial need. How prayer can provide you with immediate answers and direction to your most pressing financial issues. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, an Amazon.com bestseller from James L. Paris, the editor of ChristianMoney.com. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, available in paperback or for Kindle from Amazon.com. You're listening to Jim Paris Radio.
This is Jim Paris Live, your source for money and political conversation from a Christian perspective. And now your host, the author of more than 20 books, and the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com, James L. Paris.
All right, good evening, everybody. Jim Paris here with you behind the microphone, as I am every Sunday night at 9 o'clock Eastern. And we have a fantastic program lined up for you tonight. One of my favorite guests of all time, and I've been doing radio for, 20 years now. And this guy is absolutely fascinating. He'll be with us momentarily. His name is L.A. Marzulli, and he has a brand new book out called On the Trail of the Nephilim. And he's also got a brand new video out, and we're going to be talking with him about all of this. Who are the Nephilim? And we're going to be getting into all of this. We're also going to be taking phone calls. Now, the last time he was here, we had some problems with taking phone calls, but that is not the case, I understand, tonight. So if you want to hit him with your Bible prophecy questions tonight, you're going to have an opportunity to do that as well. We'll open up the phone lines. We'll open up the email also for questions, which I know many of you would rather ask questions by email, so we're going to do all of that for you as well. Had a great weekend this weekend. Our daughter, our youngest daughter, graduated from high school. And I might add, she got a special recognition for having a greater than a 4.0 GPA. So we were excited about that. And being that she's our youngest daughter, and she has now moved out, she's got an apartment with our other daughter down in Daytona near the college they're going to be going to. And our house is empty now. So we've got... if you're looking for a place to live, we've got a 2,300 square foot house, and it's just me and my wife and our little dog now. So I am adjusting to this whole world of living in a big house. And my wife works during the day. She's a school teacher. So, you know, I'm walking around the house and there's nobody here. I mean, it's an empty big place here during most of the day. It's just me and my dog. So we're getting adjusted to all that. But we had a nice night on Friday night. At the graduation, and then Saturday night, my wife and I, what we did, we sat out on the porch, and we listened to jazz music, and just enjoyed. There was a light rain, a little bit of a storm coming in, and I just had such a nice night, just visiting with my wife and just enjoying nature, and just having a peaceful night. And you know, so many times when you have a night off, isn't it the first instinct to grab the newspaper and see what movie is playing, or you know, what event you can go to, or what's going on at your local live theater? But just to sit outside and just, you know, just enjoy nature. And it's that time of year where it's not yet here in Florida too terribly hot, so we can still enjoy those nice early cool evenings. I got a disturbing phone call just about 25 minutes before the program here on the studio line, which is the phone number I use for my press releases. and yet another victim of the Profitable Sunrise scam, which for those of you not familiar with this, we broke the news on this scam. My article on February the 12th has uncovered, we initially thought it was a $100 million scam targeting Christians. But the latest news is that this scam may involve, hold on to your hats here, more than $800 million. And very, very sad. Spoke to a lady who is a missionary, and she lost a very substantial part of her life savings. So we have connected her with all the folks that work with the FBI and all the other authorities that are involved in trying to uncover what happened here, who has the money, where it is, if it's still around, anywhere that they can get their hands on it to try to bring it back to the folks that lost money. But just really, really sad, heartbreaking. And if you're someone that was affected by all of this, we do continue to cover the story. And we worked with the local Toledo television station to do the big expose on Nancy Jo Fraser and being one of the top promoters in Profitable Sunrise. But if you want to get all of this, including links to the TV expose, all of our reporting, all the way back to day one when we broke the story, and we were being covered, our story was being co-opted by the New Zealand Herald and other world newspapers because the scam went worldwide. But if you want to get everything on this, including the videos, we've done a number of podcasts on it. We've also got a link to the very latest legal actions that are being taken by the government here in the United States against Profitable Sunrise and the promoters. You can get all of that by going to ProfitableSunriseInvestigation.com. That's ProfitableSunriseInvestigation.com. Two last quick announcements before we bring on our guest. We did launch our new internet marketing platform, and we are looking for writers. So if you're someone that has a topic that you'd like to write on, could be a health topic, financial topic, maybe you want to share something that you do professionally, you're a lawyer, you're a doctor, maybe you've got a hobby, you're a runner, you want to write about that. We are looking for bloggers, and you can get all the information on this and the details, and you will be paid monthly for your writing. You can check it all out by going to infofawcett.com, and then click on the Become a Contributor button. We're still in the beta version of this site. We're going to be issuing the press release and making it officially public on the 15th of the month. So on June the 15th, we're going to be doing the big PR splash and all of that. So now's the time to get in if you want to be a columnist for us over at infofawcett.com. And lastly, the three-week workshop that we just finished on Bitcoin, that is now available on replay. And it's a 3.5-hour intensive training if you want to learn about this anonymous digital currency and why many Christians are super fascinated with it. Check it out over at our bookstore, jamesLParisBookstore.com. You can get the whole thing, and that includes a copy of my new book on Bitcoin, which will be coming out here in just a few weeks. But I was just checking my numbers over at Amazon, and there was a huge amount of downloads of my introductory video on Bitcoin this past month. I just got my monthly report in on the video downloads. So this is obviously a very, very hot topic. So if you're interested in Bitcoin, the video for download, just the intro video, is available over at Amazon.com. It's just $1.99. But if you want to get the full 3.5-hour training, including you'll be entitled to a copy of the new book when it comes out, that's all available over at JamesLParisBookstore.com. All right, let's get into it tonight. My guest is L.A. Marzulli. His new book is On the Trail of the Nephilim. And he's got a brand new DVD out. He's got a series of these videos. They're called the Watchers Video Series. And now we are up to video number 6 in that series. And you may have heard him on programs like Coast to Coast AM. He's been on frequently with Gary Stearman on the Prophecy in the News program as well. And if you just Google his name, L.A. Marzulli, on YouTube or Google, you're going to find, I mean, this guy is one of the top voices that the media goes to when the topic is Bible prophecy. And so without any further delay, L.A. Marzulli, welcome back to Jim Paris Live.
Hey, Jim, great to be here. Thanks for having me on again. Appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Let's start with your brand new book. We're going to get into it in a lot of detail, but just give us, like, to start with maybe like a 1 or 2 minute quick overview of what the book is about, because it's fascinating. And then I want to ask you about the video, do another like little 1 minute on the video, and then
sure.
I want to get into some things that are happening in the news right now before we actually get into the meat of the book.
That's
and the
fine.
Video.
Yeah, the On the Trail of the Nephilim basically started when I was back in Newark, Ohio, with Russ Dizdar, our colleague, and we were speaking at a conference, and we were in Newark, Ohio, home of what is now what I now know is the Great Circle Mound. But when I was invited there, I had no idea that any of these mound works even were there. And at this point, this is a number of years ago, about a year and a half, 2 years ago now, and about a year and a half ago, rather. And I realized that, oh, my gosh, there's all this, you know, where do these great mounds come from? And I looked at Fritz Zimmerman's book, and it said Nephilim Chronicles, Fallen Angels in the Ohio Valley, and I about fell out of my chair. And that was really the nexus of this whole thing. And I began to dig in, reading, of course, Stephen Quayle's book, Fritz Zimmerman's book, Vine Deloria's book, and others, all talking about that in the latter part of the 19th century and the 20th century, giant skeletons were found all over the Midwest, Southwest, even out here in California. And these edifices, these large circle mounds and octagon mounds and other structures seem to predate Native Americans. And the deeper I got with the book, the more I realized that, oh, my gosh, we could be looking at real Nephilim architecture. And, of course, there's also a Smithsonian, what I believe would be a Smithsonian cover-up, because we hear over and over and over again how the Smithsonian Institute came in, confiscated the bones, and they're gone. You can't see them. There still are some remains that are around, but they're very few and very scarce. So from that, we went to Peru. We headed up an expedition with Joe Taylor, curator of the Mount Blanco Museum, Judd Burton, my partner, of course, Richard Shaw. We were filming all this, and Ron Moorhead, who's an adventurer. We all went down to Peru, and we went to a place called Paracas, which is on the ocean, on the Pacific Ocean, one of the most beautiful places I've ever been to. And there we handled and saw and weighed and touched and photographed what I believe are Nephilim skulls. Now, these are not giants. Remember, there's over 20 tribes in what is known as the Promised Land in Canaan. When Joshua and Caleb are pushing in, what we read in Numbers chapter 13 and then elsewhere, when they go in, they see the Nephilim that are there. And there are about almost 20 Nephilim tribes, Rephaim, Zanzumim, Emans, Anakim, Amalekites, Perizzites, the Hittites, all these different tribes which are there, the Canaanites, obviously the Nephilim, are already there in the land. And the mandate, of course, is to wipe them all out. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But we feel the theory that we're working on the Trail of the Nephilim. Some went northward 3,500 years ago and settled in the Ohio Valley. Others pushed into what is now known as Peru in South America and settled there. And what's interesting is it all the data fits the scenario or the theory, because these skulls are about the Paracas people show up around 3,000 to 3,500 years ago, which fits the time frame perfectly for the diaspora of the Nephilim tribes coming out of what is known as the Levant or the Promised Land.
Now, so the book and the video, The Watcher 6, which is number 6 in the series,
mm-hmm,
those
correct.
Two go hand in hand. Is that right?
They really do go hand in hand. The book is more detailed and specifically covers On the Trail of the Nephilim and explores what happens in North America. The first section of the book, On the Trail of the Nephilim, really explores what happened in the Americas and lays down newspaper article after newspaper article. There's some fascinating interviews with Fritz Zimmerman, Eric Junkins. Also, we talk about America's Stonehenge, which is absolutely mind-boggling information that's in the book concerning America's Stonehenge and how it actually traces back to the Nephilim in Beirut. But we can get into that a little bit later. Book or part two is the whole Peru trip. Again, the DVD is sort of a companion. They really have different. They do different things, but they definitely complement each other really, really well.
And they can get the DVD, I know, and the book at your website, lamarzulli.net, but is there there other places they can go, like Amazon or their local bookstore?
Yeah, both are on Amazon. If you just Google those names, it's on our Amazon store. So you can go to our Amazon store and get both of them, no problem at all.
All right, very good. I wanted to spend a couple of minutes with you asking you about some things that are happening right now in the news and sort of get your reaction. We heard this last week now that I believe that the Syrians have now taken delivery of anti-aircraft weapons mm-hmm. from the Russians.
Sure.
And, I don't consider myself in anywhere near the level of expertise that you have in Bible prophecy, but I'm starting to watch what's shaping up over there, and are we getting pretty close to what could be Armageddon?
Well, it's not Armageddon, in my opinion, and I believe in the work of my colleague and friend Bill Salas. We spoke at a couple of conferences this year, and I'll see Bill again at the Prophecy Summit in Colorado Springs in July. And Bill authored the Psalm 83 book, and then he kind of did a follow-up on it and expanded it. You know, Psalm 83, the missing part of the prophecy puzzle, and he's correct. And he's really won over many, many people to what we believe is now the nascent beginnings of the Psalm 83 war. Who of us would have imagined 2 years ago the Arab Spring? None of us. None of us saw us coming, and yet it has completely changed the political landscape and the militaristic landscape in the Middle East. It's a whole different ballgame over there. We've spoken to people that are connected to Israel's government, Knesset, people with dual citizenship like Dan Gordon, who's an IDF reservist. And Dan came on camera in Watchers 5 stating basically that Israel has no idea, basically week to week, who it is that she's dealing with, because the political landscape has changed so much. Now we see, of course, Bashar al-Assad and the Arab Spring has stalled out there, a bloody civil war, well over 50,000 people, Syrians killed, some of the most bloody, torturous, just depraved acts by human beings doing things to other human beings with no end in sight. And, of course, the Russians – see, what's amazing is we've got this guy Putin that's there, and we've got a very weak president and who has no idea what's really going on, Obama. And Putin is now sending nuclear subs into waters. He's also beefing up his fleet and in the Mediterranean. He's also sold to the Syrians S-300 anti-missile interceptors, ground, surface to surface. This is a game changer in the region. Iran has also announced just recently they show 26 missile launchers. And these are multiple missile launchers. I think they do either 6 or 8 at a time. And they've got 26 of these things that we know about. And the idea is that if they launch them all at the same time towards Tel Aviv, there's no way the Israelis can knock them out. In order for the Arabs and the Muslims to be successful, they must come together. And this is where it's going to go. And this is why it's a Psalm 83 war. Syria, the Muslim, of course, north of Israel, and then slightly to the west of that is Hezbollah, which is entrenched in Lebanon. Meanwhile, Turkey now, the Muslim Brotherhood and the Arab Spring has just ignited just recently over the weekend in Turkey. And, Tayyip Erdogan may be fighting for his life as far as any type of stability in that country. Jihad is real. The Muslim Brotherhood is very real. Radical Islam is all through now the Middle East with one goal, and that's to create a caliphate, a United Arab State with its capital in Jerusalem. Don't believe me? If you just Google "to Jerusalem we go, martyrs in the millions," you'll see millions of people chanting that. You'll also see a very fiery imam by the name of Higazi screaming at the top of his lungs that Jerusalem would be the capital of the United Arab States. So you've got the Muslim Brotherhood, which Kerry just gave $450 million to. You've got the PLO, which Kerry has pledged $40 billion to. This place is an absolute tinderbox, and all eyes are on the Jewish state. The idea that Hamas, Hezbollah, the Muslim Brotherhood, none of these organizations will ever recognize one grain of sand of Israel. And we believe in the God of the Bible. And this is where we're headed towards a time of Jacob's trouble, not Bob, Fred, or Ernie's. It all has to do with Israel. The church is not Israel. The church has been grafted in. Israel is Israel, and the church is the church. Israel has been regathered from the four corners of the earth, just like prophecy warned us and told us and instructed us that it would happen in the latter days. We are here. Israel is there. We are entering, about to enter into the time of Jacob's trouble, but there's a prelude to that, and we are looking at the prelude, and I believe truly that it's the Psalm 83 war. We don't know yet, and that's why we watch. Meanwhile, Isaiah 17 seems to be looming in front of us as Damascus is being torn apart, literally brick by brick, by the Syrian, the Syrian's own people are doing this. So Hezbollah, which is in Lebanon, is absolutely entrenched in there, supporting Bashar al-Assad. Al-Qaeda elements are all through there. The Iranians have been trying to smuggle in weapons through northern Iraq into Syria, then over to Lebanon, which is why the Israelis struck several weeks ago. And now that the Russians have upped the ante with the S-300 missile system, anti-aircraft system, they can't do that anymore. They just can't fly sorties over Damascus like they did before, because those S-300s will knock the planes out of the sky. This also was the game changer when the Iranians were putting the fuel rods in the reactors several years ago with the aid of the Russians. And the Russians put a battery of S-300 missile systems in Georgia. And I'm not talking about Georgia in the United States. Georgia, which is north of Iran. And that was basically the only move that the Israelis had to try to knock out the reactors. And because the S-300s were there, that basically thwarted any type of Israeli aggression. So this thing is ratcheted up. Just over the weekend, in fact, the State Department now warned people not to go and tour the pyramids in Egypt. Now, that could be a little bit of, slap on the wrist for Egypt. But from what my understanding, certain parts of Egypt are incredibly safe to go to, but other parts are not. And certainly Cairo, with its vendors and its Muslim Brotherhood meeting in Tahrir Square, I would stay away from it. In fact, I would warn pretty much everybody right now, unless your business is in the utmost importance, I would stay out of the Middle East. Why go into harm's way? And that's just a quick thumbnail sketch of what's going on in that area.
Well, our next newsletter is going to be mailed out to our subscribers this next week, and I just finished my commentary for that. And one of the things we touched on was the trustees of Social Security and Medicare did their report, and it came out a few days ago. And it shows that within the next 15 to 20 years that we will begin to see the complete collapse of both of these programs, which, many people are counting on, in some cases, as their entire retirement. They don't have anything else but that. And yet, when you see things like that, and it's, covered in the news, I still talk to people all around me, and no one seems concerned about any of this. And I want to get your take on this, because there seems to be what I call many times a normalcy bias, which is people just assume that everything will continue to be the way that it always is. You go to your church service and everyone is praise the Lord and everything is great. It just seems like there's a disconnect between those of us who are the adults in the room that are watching the news and those that are just sort of skipping along, whistling past the graveyard, if you will.
And I certainly concur with you. There's a term called cognitive dissonance, when people have no paradigm in which to embrace information. And this is where we are. And let me just say this, that I believe that we are looking at complete and utter financial collapse in this country. It is being orchestrated. Ben Bernanke's magic printing press continues to turn out worthless phony paper money. We're not backed up by any gold standard. The dollar is, people are looking at, other countries are looking at to, move away from the dollar as a universal currency. We've held this thing with the dollar and our currency as a leader for decades, but that soon may be wiped out, because we are literally trillions of dollars in debt, and it's not going to go away. There's no way to repay that debt. And things are not normal. Things are not good. Look at the scandals that are happening in Washington. This whole thing is so corrupt, it's cancerous to the core. Every bit of it is. And I believe that our nation is about to move into a place of judgment. It's not a real happy message, but that's what we're seeing. Look at the droughts. Look at the tornadoes. Look at the record rainfall in places, the bizarre weather patterns in other places. you know, snow everywhere. I mean, it's just we're off the hook. And then you think
I'm glad you mentioned the weather. Touch on that a little bit more, if you would. These are historic tornadoes that just hit in Oklahoma City. I don't think there's ever been anything like this weather event, at least in any records that we have.
Well, last year in June, we broke 4,000 temperature records in the United States. We are seeing record floods, record droughts. We're seeing crops that are failing. We're seeing here in the Oglala Reservoir, which has been used to be able to pump like 150 gallons a minute. It's down to about 10 gallons a minute, and at some point it will run out. Life is not going on the way it has for the last 100 years, or let's say the last 50, in the aftermath of World War II. And the country is great in some areas, and in other areas is absolutely debauched, sick, bloated, tired, corrupt, and cancerous. Any country that would spawn the Gosnell character in Philadelphia and then this other nutcase in Texas, these abortion doctors, the nutcase in Texas would strangle, wring the babies' necks that were born alive, literally tear their heads off the bodies. That's how crazy this guy is. And that's right out of Auschwitz. That's right out of that's the Mengele playbook, folks, and it's happening here in America. And yet the church dithers and plays this, you know, ridiculous game that we do, you know, the entertainment deal. And there's not a lot of repentance. Now, I'm broad brushing here, you know, I'm painting with a very broad brush. There are some churches that get it and are beginning to repent and ask the Lord for mercy because we need it in this country. You know, the Federal Reserve is not part of our government, and Ben Bernanke's Magic Printing Press is not part of our government. We were hijacked, the whole Jekyll Island deal, at the beginnings of the 20th century, right before World War I, and we've never been the same since. And now we are basically modern serfs. You go back 150 years ago, or even less, we never paid income tax in this country, and the government was never as bloated as it was now, and we printed our own currency, and we had a gold standard. Well, once Bernanke and the feds came in, private banking interest, which we fought against, by the way, and presidents fought against it until 1913, and everything changed. And here we are. We are nothing more. We are literally back to where our founding fathers were. We are taxed from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed. And we are taxed, 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 taxed. Meanwhile, we have a government that is absolutely out of control, has no idea what it's doing, serves as the world's policeman with over 900 military bases globally. And, you know, this isn't the country that the country was founded on. It's just not. We have presidents and we have congressmen and senators who do not abide by the Constitution. We have lawyers and judges and Supreme Court judges, even, I believe, who do not hold the Constitution, believe it's a living document that somehow we can change the Constitution, we can interpret it this way. We are so far down the rabbit hole. And I'm looking at the collapse of this country, and I love this country. But the country that America is no longer, in my opinion, the country that was founded by our founding fathers several hundred years ago.
L.A., we're going to put you on hold, and we're going to go to a commercial break, which will be our only commercial break. And this is for 4 minutes, so you can grab yourself a fresh cup of coffee and stretch your legs if you want to do that. And we're going to open up the phone lines now. When we come back from the break, we will be talking about his new book, On the Trail of the Nephilim. And if you've got a question about the Nephilim, if you've got a question about Bible prophecy, this is your opportunity to talk to Bible prophecy expert, author, and researcher L.A. Marzulli. The toll-free number is 888-287-3316. Again, the number to join us with your live question, 888-287-3316. You can also send your question by email to jim@christianmoney.com. jim@christianmoney.com. We'll take a break and we'll be back with L.A. Marzulli right after this. Hello, everybody. This is Jim Paris, editor-in-chief of christianmoney.com. You know, a couple of years ago, I was out in my neighborhood walking my dog, and I happened to notice an individual cleaning out a foreclosed home. And I do live on one of those streets where there have been a lot of foreclosures. In fact, at one point in time, there were actually 5 empty homes right on the street that I live in Palm Coast. So I struck up a conversation with this individual that was cleaning out this house, and he shared with me how much money that he was making simply cleaning out foreclosed homes and how busy he was. And it really got me thinking about how many people could benefit by getting this information. So I started doing some research to really ask the question, what would be involved in starting up a business like that, the business of cleaning out foreclosed homes? And I found an online course that I think is fantastic. I actually purchased it myself to check it out to make sure it was something that I could recommend. And it goes through the entire process of how to get started in a business like that, how much money you can charge, how to bid jobs, what licenses, if any, might be required in your area. And the author outlines the entire process, actually showing you how you can make between $500 and even $1,000 or more per day just cleaning out foreclosed homes. If you'd like to find out more about it, I want to recommend to you the website, foreclosurecleaning.us. That's foreclosurecleaning.us.
He became a millionaire by the age of 30, but ended up in bankruptcy, losing it all by the age of 40. The amazing story of one man driven to the brink of death after becoming the victim of an embezzlement scheme. After planning his own suicide, he turned to God and discovered a secret so powerful that it changed his life forever. How to pray for a financial miracle is more than just one man's story of beating the odds and rebuilding his life after a total financial collapse. It's a book that reveals a life-changing prayer method that anyone can use to find hope during life's darkest financial trials. You will learn how to enlist God's help in solving your financial problems, the biggest prayer mistake most people make when approaching God with a financial need, how prayer can provide you with immediate answers and direction to your most pressing financial issues, how to pray for a financial miracle, an Amazon.com bestseller from James L. Paris, the editor of ChristianMoney.com, how to pray for a financial miracle, available in paperback or for Kindle from Amazon.com. You're listening to Jim Paris Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Jim Paris, editor-in-chief of the website ChristianMoney.com. You know, about a year ago, I started getting concerned about the cost of our family's health insurance, literally costing us thousands and thousands of dollars each year, and the cost continued to go up and up and up. And I started doing some research into an alternative called Christian Medical Sharing. And I learned that through a special law, a special provision, Christians are able to opt out of Obamacare and actually get into this alternative to traditional health insurance called Christian Medical Sharing. I decided to go ahead and move into a plan like that, and I'm saving a lot of money. Now, if you'd like to find out more about it, get more of the details to find out if it's for you or not, I've written an article on it. In the article, I give you more details, including I actually mention the organization that I decided to go with. If you'd like to get all of the information on this and find out if it might be for you, check out this website, medicalsharing.christianmoney.com. That's medicalsharing.christianmoney.com. All right. Hello, everybody. We are back, and my guest tonight is L.A. Marzulli. He is the author of a brand new book, On the Trail of the Nephilim. He's got a video series called the Watchers video series, and I have almost all of these videos, and they're fantastic, and I highly recommend them. And the latest in the series, the Watchers 6 DVD, which gets into this whole topic that he's going to be talking about with us here in a moment, his new book, that's covered in the video as well. So my recommendation is get the book and the video, and you can get them through his website, lamarzulli.net, or through their Amazon.com store. And his name is spelled L-A, and then the last name is spelled M-A-R-Z-U-L-L-I, if you want to do a search for that over at Amazon. And L.A., before we get into the book, we're going to squeeze a caller in that has a question that's not about the book, so we thought we'd bring them in first. We've got Joanne with us from Minneapolis. Joanne, you're on Jim Paris Live. Say hello to L.A. Marzulli.
Oh, I had a question of how terrorism and terrorist activity is connected with Bible prophecy. Do you think that there's a connection like for instance the Benghazi attack, and here on, in America the Boston Marathon and the school shootings, that kind of thing, if they have a connection with Bible prophecy, and I will hang up and listen to your answer.
All right, great question. And there's more and more of this we're hearing about L.A. What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, she's sort of, I would say, mixing apples and oranges. First of all, that the terrorism is built on built on supernatural events, which has colored the body politic. What I mean by that is that Islam adheres to the Quran. The Quran was given to by Muhammad, supposedly by the angel Gabriel. Now, as Christians, we don't believe that, but Muslims do. That's fine. That is a set of supernatural experiences which has colored and shaped the body politic in that area of the world. These people believe very sincerely that this happened, that the supernatural experiences that Muhammad had are true, and that's fine. But the problem is that you've got another set of supernatural experiences, those by the Jews. And those two supernatural experiences that the Jews have and the Islamists have are literally at loggerheads with each other. And this is what the cause of the tension is, based on supernatural events. No one has stated that. No one states that, really. I stated in my book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, which is now 6 years old. The current political landscape is in direct correlation to supernatural events that happened in some cases millennia ago. And that's exactly what we're doing, what we're looking at. Supernatural events have colored and shaped the body politic in all countries of the world, be it Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Jew, or whatever. Animist, supernatural events color and shape the culture and the body politic in any place you go on this planet. And yet, and of course, this is the nuts and bolts of the problem in the Middle East. You've got one set of supernatural events coming up against another set of supernatural events, and they are completely at loggerheads with one another. Now, looking at the school shootings here, that has nothing to do with terrorism. The Adam Lanza school shooting, Sandy Hook, I still look at that and I wonder what I'm looking at. The two guys up in Boston, I wonder what I'm looking at. Look, they could have been radicalized. I get that. What people don't understand, and this is maddening in this country, just look at Iraq. Over 1,000 people were killed in May in Iraq. Now, what is that for? That's sectarian violence. That's Sunni Muslim against Shia Muslim. So here they have their own Muslim country, and they kill each other, and they blow each other up. 1,000 people were killed. Why? Why would anybody in their right mind allow this to come into this country? You just can't trust it. Who do you trust? And I realize that may sound like an incredible racist statement, but if they're blowing each other up in Iraq, you know, I mean, what's to prevent them from blowing each other up and us with them over here? And so if what we see in Boston is real, and I'm not so sure it is yet, I was very taken aback by the Third Reich militaristic presence of the police and the SWAT teams in Boston. It looked like a siege for one 19-year-old kid. Come on, guys, what are we looking at? And by the way, the FBI didn't get him. It was a tip from a civilian. Whatever happened to, posse comitatus? Whatever happened to, you know, the militia taking over or the citizens taking over instead of this professional, like, Fourth Reich-type army which rolls in with, you know, just it's unbelievable.
Well, and the story has now come right down here to the Orlando area where our local FBI office was interrogating an individual that was apparently an associate of the Boston bombers.
Yes.
And we don't know
yes.
exactly what happened, but right. He was killed in that interrogation
yep.
room.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a lot of suspicion here. All right, now, this will give you a chance to tee off on the book here, and time always goes so quickly when you're with us. We've got an email question, someone emailing us from Chicago, and they want you to help them. I'm paraphrasing here. They're confused. Are the Nephilim the fallen angels, or are they the giants that were the offsprings of the angels having sexual relations with women? That's their question.
It's the latter. And Tom Horn, Gary Stearman, Dr. I.D.E. Thomas, Pember, Doug Hamp, and myself all hold to this position that the Nephilim are the offspring of fallen angels and the women of Earth. That's what they are. The Nephilim are not fallen angels. Nephilim are the offspring. It is said the Nephilim were on the Earth when the sons of God saw the daughters of men, went into them, had relations with them, and their offspring became the Nephilim. It's a demonic hybrid. It's the reason for the flood. It gets into the whole seed war. And a person, in my opinion, does not understand biblical prophecy or what is really going on in the cosmos unless they have an understanding of the seed war, and it goes back to the Nephilim.
And this is in Genesis chapter 6, but yet, even though I went to Bible college, I don't remember this ever being brought up. It's almost like a topic we just skip over, whether it's in seminary or in Sunday school at church. Why is this topic ignored, and what's sort of the reaction that you get when you go around the country talking about the Nephilim, since it's something that we generally don't talk about?
Well, it used to be talked about. In the Ethiopian Bible, the Book of Enoch, which talks about the fallen angels, which is no longer part of our canon, precedes the Book of Genesis. It was widely read. The idea that the fallen angels had sex with the women was embraced by the early church fathers and by most of the rabbis. And, of course, where it got booted was when Augustine came in and said, well, that's not what really happened. And they basically rewrote it and came up with what's now known as the Sethite theory, which is somehow the sons of God, which is always B'nai HaElohim, suddenly becomes the good guys, the sons of Seth, and the bad guys, the daughters of men, become the Hoochie Mamas of Cain, the women of Cain, the fallen women of Cain. Well, but that's not what the scripture says, and that's torturing the text. And the reason why they did it is because it's unthinkable that fallen angels would do this. But guess what? That's what they did. And that's what they're going to do once again. This is what people don't understand. As in the days of Noah, so will be when the Son of Man returns. This thing's coming down like a freight train, and the church won't address it. So I'm running around yelling and screaming at the top of my lungs and pretty much going wherever I'm invited within reason. And, I was just at a place, and we spoke, I think, for 12 hours over the weekend. And we armed the people and let them understand and know exactly what's coming down, what to look for, and people get armed. And I love what I do. On the Trail of the Nephilim, a new book, explores this. And the photograph, it's an oversized book, 8.5 by 11 inches, full color print. And you know how most books have little photos in the middle? It's not that way. There are full-blown photographs all the way through the book. And so the reason why we did that and spared no expense is we really wanted people to get the feel of what I saw in Peru, what we saw, my partner and I, Richard Shaw, and I, what we saw in Peru. And, you know, when I wrote the book, actually Richard wrote a chapter in it, which is fantastic. But when I wrote the book, the idea was, let's make this an oversized book with full color, you know, four color print, so people really can get an idea of what we saw, what we encountered there. And I think I think the book speaks for itself. It's already it's we're selling a lot of them. People, we just started shipping, so we don't have any feedback. But I know Bob Ulrich of Prophecy in the News just gave us a stellar review, as did Gary Stearman of Prophecy in the News. I was on Sid Roth's show. They absolutely went bonkers over the book, literally went bonkers. And the book is now being featured in their monthly news magazine. Right, their cover is my cover, On the Trail of a Nephilim. So already the book is getting legs in Christian circles because it blows the lid off of Darwinism.
Now this next question comes.
It blows the lid off of Darwinism and basically goes, this whole thing has been covered up for the last 150 years. It's a bunch of hooey. These skulls are not part of evolution. They are something else, and they tie into the biblical paradigm. We haven't proved it 100% yet, but we're close. We're really close.
Now, this next emailer, he doesn't tell us his location, but he asks, how big, when you say giants, how big are we talking about? And he wants to know, are there any living still today, and where are they if they are living today?
Well, I don't know whether there's any living today. If I did, I'd be down there interviewing them. And the giants, you got to remember that the giants from the flood, before the flood the first time, were very, very large. Then our DNA gets changed, doesn't it, at Tower of Babel? Our DNA has changed. We're not living 500 to 900 years anymore. We're living to 120 years. Man will live 120 years. That's a DNA change. How does God do that? Well, he's God. He gives us the DNA change. Now the fallen ones aren't getting what they used to get. I believe by the time you get to the Levant, there are many different Nephilim tribes. They all have different characteristics. We actually see that in some of the descriptions. What's interesting here is that Satan, the bottom line is this, Satan is trying to create man in his own image. It's a seed war, and it ties in eventually into the mark of the beast. Anyone who takes that mark winds up in the lake of fire. We see that there's no grace and mercy. It's exactly the same judgment that a loving God gives any time a Nephilim are present. And this is like a three-hour conversation, which unfortunately we don't have a lot of time to get into tonight. You know, we can touch it. We got 15 minutes left or whatever. We can touch on it about the mark of the beast and how that figures into the Nephilim. But that's all my research went into that on the Cosmic Chess Match. I also allude to it on the Trail of a Nephilim. We are so far down the rabbit hole. This stuff is real. The genetic manipulation has been going on by the fallen one, literally for millennia, and he continues to do so in the modern age, in modernity.
Now, many times when we talk about these kinds of topics, we automatically assume that this is something that's happening somewhere remote from the United States. And you do mention Peru and your trip to Peru, and that's covered on the video. But I'm fascinated about the Serpent Mounds, which most people have never heard about. We've written about it a couple of times in our newsletter, and the reaction we get from people is, what? That's in Ohio? I never even knew that was here. Tell people what this – is it called the Hopa Road there and the Serpent Mounds?
The Hopa Road is a road that extends about 50 to 60 miles from Newark, Ohio to Chillicothe in a very straight line, and you can't do that in antiquity. And this road, it begs the question, why are these guys doing it? Who are these people? Hopewell was a farmer, so the road is just named after the farmer. They don't know, archaeologists do not know, who the people were that built this stuff, built the Great Serpent Mound that you talked about. That's in Peebles near Chillicothe, or the Great Circle Mound, 1,255 feet in Newark, Ohio, where some of these banks were like 20 feet, or the Great Octagon Mound, which was all one part of a complex. And by the way, you can't see any of these things unless you're in the air. When you're in the Circle Mound, you can appreciate it, but when you're in the air above it, then you really see what the Circle Mound and the Octagon Mound complex. I believe, and my colleague Russ Dizdar and others believe, that these edifices are, in fact, Nephilim architecture. That's what we're looking. But I'll tell you one that's even better. And we interviewed this guy, Kelsey Stone, for On the Trail of a Nephilim. There's a place called America's Stonehenge, okay? And it's in New Hampshire. And it's a henge. A henge is a circle. And on the perimeter of the henge are standing stones, which are in the ground. And these standing stones mark the summer and winter solstices, the longest and the shortest day of the year, and the equinoxes, the spring and fall equinoxes, where it's equal amount of day and light, right, or day and night. And there were other standing stones around this particular henge in New Hampshire. It's called America's Stone Henge. Kelsey Stone, who I interviewed along with his father for the book On the Trail of a Nephilim, came in on the record, and the reason why I did this is because he discovered something which is absolutely mind-boggling. Kelsey Stone is a 22-year-old college student, and he's on Google Earth, and he's extending a line from the America Stonehenge out to the summer solstice standing stone, and he continues to extend that and extend it. Remember, the summer solstice standing stone is where the sunrise, the longest day of the year, comes up right over that standing stone. So you're standing in the center of the henge, looking out towards the standing stone, and you see the sun come up. Well, he's on Google Earth now, and he draws a line from the center of the henge in New Hampshire out to the summer solstice standing stone. And he continues that line and continues it further and further and further, and finally he winds up intersecting the Trilithon, which is in Stonehenge, England. The Trilithon is two upright stones with a horizontal above it. Now, but that's thousands of miles away, and there's no way to do that in antiquity. You must be in the air triangulating with satellites. You can do it in modernity, but you can't do it 4,000 years ago when this was done. Well, that blew his mind completely, and it blew my mind when I saw it. But then he extended the line further, and he wound up in Beirut, Lebanon. And Beirut, Lebanon is the home of the Phoenicians, and the Phoenicians are a direct descendants of the Canaanites, and the Canaanites were a Nephilim tribe. So all this fits the paradigm. It all fits the biblical paradigm, and it blows the whole, in my opinion, it blows the whole Darwinian idea that somehow the Beringian at the end of the last ice age, the Beringia landmass, and all these people came over. No, you don't understand. These people did not build America's Stonehenge in New Hampshire. And because you can draw that line, which intersects the center Trilithon in Stonehenge, England, and then you continue it to Beirut, Lebanon, you can only do that from the air. Who is the prince of the power of the air? We live in the supernatural world, okay? The miracles of the Bible are true and real, and Darwinism is an absolute fraud, in my opinion.
And is it an oversimplification when you look at the serpent being the character by which this, it seems like the most discussed mound there. I mean, it's the serpent. I mean, is it oversimplifying
it
too?
It's always the serpent.
Yeah. Yeah,
the serpent motif is everywhere, and that begs the question, you know, Quetzalcoatl, who is the plumed serpent? You know, why is the serpent motif used over and over and over and over and over again? And there's a reason for it, because that's who he is, and that's all this architecture reflects him, and all these, remember, on these places, even in America's Stonehenge, there was an altar, 6 by 9 foot stone slab altar. They believe human sacrifice took place there. Go back to the Great Circle Mound in Ohio. There was found an altar with human remains on the altar. Human sacrifice is done over and over and over again at these sites. Look at Chichen Itza. Upwards of 50,000 people ritualistically slaughtered. I mean, this is all extremely deliberate. And it's to honor the would-be god Satan. That's what people don't get. And there was an ancient grid. We talked about this on the Trail of the Nephilim in Peru, what we saw, the megalithic stone structures that we saw there. Absolutely mind-boggling. It is Nephilim architecture, in my opinion. You can't create this stuff in modernity. You'd be hard-pressed, Jim, to create what we saw in Sacsayhuaman. Huge megalithic, huge boulders, stones, shape, polygonal size, 120 tons each, fit together in these huge, humongous, megalithic walls, Herculean walls, right? You know, 10, 20, 30 feet in the air. And these walls, these stones are multi-sided, polygonal shapes, and the shapes go all the way through the stones, and the stones were quarried 40 to 60 miles away, 2,000 feet below the 12,000-foot level. And yet they're hauled here by a people, supposedly the Inca, who didn't have a wheel, and they're put together without a shred of mortar. The Inca did not build Sacsayhuaman. It didn't happen that way. This architecture is ancient. It's old. It's thousands and thousands of years old. I believe Sacsayhuaman is pre-flood. And I believe it is total Nephilim architecture, as the Temple of the Sun in Ollantaytambo. The same guys are doing this because they can. And the technology that they use cannot be duplicated today. You could do it, but it would be millions and millions and millions of dollars. And very incredibly time-consuming. The cuts are so precise, and they go through the entire stone. There's a technology there that defies our physics, and it's used. And my theory is that this is fallen angel technology. It is the handiwork of the fallen angels and their progeny, the Nephilim. They are setting up a worldwide grid system. They did in antiquity, and at the days of Noah, that grid system is back now in the form of the satellites overhead and the World Wide Web. And at some point, Jim, it will be used by the Antichrist to enslave every single person on this planet. Go read the book of Revelation, because it tells us that's exactly what's going to happen. We are here. The days of Noah are back. The grid is back. The fallen ones are back. It's all happening, and the church dithers.
Now, you talked about the fact that the bones of these giants have, for the most part, been covered up. When they've been found, then they've been hidden by the authorities. Talk, if you would, for a moment about the archaeological quality of what you found in Peru. And were you able to actually physically handle these giant bones? Is that what we're going to see on the video?
Well, these are not giant bones, but we believe that they are Nephilim bones. Let me tell you why. We were able to take a cast of one of the skulls. I'm looking at it right now. We believe it's a female. There are some of the male skulls which are much, much larger than the female, three times the size of the female. But here's one of the genetic anomalies that we found. I've had three archaeologists look at it. I've had a forensic anthropologist look at it, and also three medical doctors look at it, all of which went just, oh, my gosh, where did you get this? A human skull consists of four plates which create the skull, the frontal plate, the two parietal plates, which go on top of the skull, and then the occipital plate, which is the rear plate. They are held together with what's known as sutures, and these sutures look like exactly what a suture looks like. They look like something has stitched these plates together. Well, in many of the Paraca skulls and the skulls that we examined in Peru, they were missing a plate. They had a frontal plate, but only one parietal plate, no parietal suture at all. That parietal suture should go from the top of the skull, the frontal plate, all the way to the rear plate or the occipital plate. There's no such line there. There's just one occipital plate on top of the head. That shouldn't be there, Jim. That shouldn't be there. But then there's other anomalies that we found within those skulls. The zygomatic arch, that bone structure around the eye, highly pronounced. There's missing teeth. The nasal cavity's all wrong. In short, you'd be hard-pressed. And we had a medical doctor who remained anonymous examine the cast of the skull, and he wrote a report on it, and that report's in the book. Hard-pressed to call this thing human. When I showed it to a forensic anthropologist down at UCLA, at first he said, oh, that's just cradle headboarding. And I said, excuse me, look again. And then he looked and saw the one parietal plate, and he realized that it wasn't cradle headboarding, and he just his eyes bugged out of his head, and he just kind of went, you know, where'd you get this? He became interested and fascinated.
Is DNA testing possible with what you found to see what we're really dealing with here?
We're going back with a team of archaeologists and probably a medical doctor in the near future to gather up more information and also to probably conduct an archaeological dig in the area. The Paracas necropolis is privately owned, and we know the owner who owns this particular necropolis, and we're seeking his permission to do an archaeological dig in the area because we know that there are other remains. The Chongo skulls that you've seen on the internet are not human. They are not the result of cradle headboarding. We must get DNA. However, we were able, and this is mind-blowing, Jim, we were able to get a hair sample. And we took the hair sample back, and we used a machine which is called Raman spectroscopy. And what this machine does is it analyzes the molecular structure of anything that you put into it to test. So we had four samples. First of all, we wanted to see whether this hair sample was a dyed sample or not. So we took a human hair, a dyed human hair, the reddish hair that we got from Paracas from the skull, and a blonde hair that we got from a man who had been abducted and was forced to have sex with an alien hybrid, a so-called alien hybrid. And in the next morning when he awakened, he found a long blonde hair on his person, and he had the presence of mind to take that hair. Get this, and I'm not making this stuff up. We've got the graph. We show the graph in Watcher 6. It did not make the press release for the book. It will be in Volume 2. The graph shows the human hair, which starts off on the left side and makes just an arc and then goes away. The dyed hair starts where the human hair is, but then goes right up through the roof real quick. So there's no comparison between the human hair, the control sample, and the dyed human hair. Huge difference. Then we take the alien hair, the blonde hair, and the reddish hair from Paracas. And these two hairs, Jim, they track every little bump, every little jog, they track. One is about 3,000 years old. The other one is recent, 5 years old, and yet they track. Yeah. And they may have actually, if you move them up, if you move the red hair one up a little, it would match the alien one exactly. So what does that do? That what kind of proof does that give us? The proof it gives us is there seems to be a tie-in between what happened 3,000 years ago in Paracas and what is happening with the alien abduction scenario. And guess what? This fits my theory to the T. It's fits.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean,
is it conclusively
I'm getting
proven?
Chills. I'm getting chills
well,
right now.
We did
listening,
too.
Listening
we did
to what
too.
You're saying.
We did too. We saw it. Because
wow.
It connects what happened in antiquity with modernity.
And we've got only about a minute left, and I've got a ton of emails here. I'm apologizing to everybody. We're not going to be able to take any more questions. But as we close out, L.A., thank you so much for joining us. And tell people about the new book and the video and, again, how they can get in touch with you and follow your blog and get these new materials.
Well, the best place to do, you can go to Amazon and just get On the Trail of the Nephilim or Watcher 6. Both of them will come up on our Amazon store, or you can just go to our store, lamarzulli.net, lamarzulli.net, and avail yourself of Watcher 6, and, of course, the new book, On the Trail of the Nephilim. So, lamarzulli.net.
And you're still doing speaking engagements, is that right, all around the country?
We'll be in Tennessee here on the 19th, and then, of course, we'll be in Sedona, Arizona, and after that, the big one, Prophecy Summit. Prophecy in the News is hosting that at Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Thank you so much for joining us, LA. And folks, if you ever have a chance to go see him in person, which I did up in North Carolina, he's 10 times even better in person. As great as he is on the radio, you got to go see him in person if he's anywhere near you. LA Marzulli, thank you so much. God bless.
Thanks so much. Pleasure of mine, Jim. Take care.
All righty. Bye-bye. Wow. How do you follow something like that up? A great program, L.A. Marzulli, the new book, On the Trail of the Nephilim. Hope you enjoyed that interview. This is Jim Paris here, as always, to help you make the most of God's money. We'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Jim Paris Live. For more information about our program, visit ChristianMoney.com or send an email to jim@ChristianMoney.com. Join us next week for another live program.